were having a nice discussion. Sunday school. We're going communion after a while.
Okay. Yeah, I'll say it here.
Okay. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the wisdom of God. And one of the things we want to do is we want to ask ourselves this question, why do we need God's wisdom? So think about that a little bit. Why? And see what your answers are, what comes to you. So one of the reasons that we really need the wisdom of God in our life is because our life is unpredictable. We live in a world that is very unpredictable. And when we try to meet that with worldly wisdom, our worldly wisdom or understanding is very limited. Now, we might think we're smart, but it's very, very limited. So God's wisdom helps us to make choices. That's what the Holy Spirit, we have that Holy Spirit indwelling within us. It helps us to make those choices, and those choices are rooted and grounded in the truth of His Word. That's why we study, and that's why we need more time to study. Because when we begin to look at the truth of God's Word, the purpose that God has in store for us, we'll begin to see, it's greater than any worldly emotion that we'll ever have, and it's greater than any personal gain that we could ever get out of the world. So spiritual wisdom it gives us the ability to be able to comprehend God's truths. And that's what we want in our life. We don't want any of the false things, some of the things you all were discussing, we were talking about. We don't want any of those things in our life. We want to be able to discern between what is right and what is wrong according to the truth of God's Word. And then we want to be able to apply that in our life. It does no good to learn the truth if we never apply it to our life. So we've got to remember that. He learned the truth, now we got to apply it. Listen to this. Pay attention to this. It is as believers, it is our responsibility. Did you get that, everybody? Our responsibility to always speak, okay? To always speak the wisdom of God. If we can't speak the wisdom of God, then what should we do? Be quiet. That's right. We shouldn't say anything at all. So that is our responsibility to do that. So, but before we can speak it, we've got to know what it is. So in a simple answer, and I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians, in a simple answer then, what is the wisdom of God? So let's go to 1 Corinthians real quick here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 24. Then we're going to read some other verses in 1 and 2. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, here's what it says. But unto them which are called, so that means everybody that has been saved, all of us as believers, both Jews and Greeks, nobody's left out, it says, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So what is the wisdom of God? It is Christ living in you and I. That is the wisdom of God. So to us and for us, wisdom is for us, it's God's Word. Because Christ is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, we have Him through the Word. This in John 1:1, it says what? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. So this is what we have. This is the wisdom. Why? So we preach about this all the time. People probably get tired of hearing me say, oh, I know you say study, study, study all the time. Because that's wisdom. That's Christ. That's what we need in our life. So we can only understand this through the indwelling Holy Spirit. So those who are not saved will never, pay attention to this, will never, never, never understand the Word of God. I don't care how smart they seem to you about knowing the Word of God, they'll never understand the Word of God. Do you know who knows the Word of God better than all of us in here put together? Satan does. But he does not understand a word of it. theirs where we have rule over him. Satan does not understand the word of God. So as we begin to mature in our life spiritually, then we begin to express this. We begin to express this to all of those around us, and we express it by reflecting the divine nature of God, the characteristics of God. People begin to see Christ-like characteristics within us. This is how we express this to people around us. So that means that everybody that we're in contact with, we're letting them see what salvation is all about, what the saving grace of Jesus Christ is all about. And we're not doing this for us. We're not doing this for our own wisdom, but we're doing it all for the glory of God. That's what it's all about in our life. So let's ask ourselves then another question. How do we get this wisdom? Now, we know we begin to get it when we're saved, but once we're saved, then where do we go from there? How do we begin to grow in the wisdom of God? So let's go to the book of James real quick. And this is a simple answer as well. See, all these answers to these questions are simple, but you know, sometimes simple things go way beyond us. And we're always looking for something complicated. But in James chapter 1, verse 5, listen to this. Here's he said, if any of you lack wisdom, okay? How many of you would? I lack wisdom. Everybody, yeah, we're all together. If any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask. Ask God. Is that simple enough? If any of you that lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. He's not stingy. If you want wisdom, he'll give us wisdom as long, now listen to this, as long as we're using it according to his purpose and plan, according as we're using it according to his will. So he says we ask because he said he upbraideth not. If we do, then it won't be given to us. So as believers, we ask God to help us to obtain wisdom. We obtain wisdom and knowledge by studying by the word of God. So now David said, thy word hath I hid in my heart that what? I might not sin against me. You don't do that with just plain old wisdom and knowledge, but you have to have some understanding. So we get wisdom and knowledge out of the word of God. Our understanding comes from God himself. He begins to show us what he wants us to learn through his word. So without wisdom, then there's no knowledge. And without knowledge, then there is no understanding. So by faith believing, you were saved by faith believing. If you want wisdom and knowledge and understanding from God, it's got to come by faith believing. If you don't believe in what you read, if you don't have faith in what you read, then you're not going to get any understanding of it. So therefore, the wisdom is null and void. So we should be at the point in our life, every situation, every circumstance, every challenge, every opportunity should be met head on with the wisdom of God. But wisdom that comes with understanding. So therefore, when God begins to give us wisdom, then we begin to look to him for understanding. We begin to pray, and God begins to take us to various scriptures as we begin to read and we begin to study. And God uses many different examples and different things in the Bible, puts us in those. How many of you have ever read a passage of scripture? Let me ask you this, and there's nothing wrong with doing this. That you've asked God for understanding, he's taken you to a passage of scripture, and you begin to read, maybe he's given you an example about Abraham, or Moses, or John, or Paul, or Peter, and you put yourself right there in that scripture. You take that name out and put your name in there. Put it right in there, and God is trying to show you. He wants you, he just doesn't want you to read the scripture and study the scripture, but he wants you to become a part of the scripture. He wants you to become a part of that so that we might understand that what they're going through is what we are going through, and he made a way for it. And he wants us to understand that. So that should become a part of us. And, you know, a lot of times we pick up the Bible, we read a few verses, that'll get me through the day, close the Bible, lay it down, and off we go. It didn't get you through the first 30 seconds of your day. Why? Because it didn't It didn't become a part of us. We didn't dwell. You know, when I was called to preach, I'll let you know, Haman Plogger, he was a good man. A good man in the Lord. And when I was called to preach, he knew I was called to preach, but he waited for me. And it probably took longer than it should have. But once he knew, he set me down one day and he said, here's what you do. He said, you have to become a part of the Scripture. He said, you let God give you what he wants for you to understand and bring forth. And then he said, you begin to dwell upon that until God said, okay, you're ready. You have some understanding. You've now become a part of that. And then he said, you begin to share that with other people. That's what preaching is all about. That's what our witness is all about. When we're out here in the world, we're sharing with other people. We're not sharing just what we've read. We're not sharing just what we memorized. But we're sharing what we lived. We're sharing what we became a part of. Because that's when people can begin to see it within us. And people can begin to come a part of it as well. If we're not living what we're reading, we're not getting the understanding that God wants us to have out of his word. So he said, God gives wisdom. He gives it generously to anybody that will, by faith believing, that will ask and use it according to his will. He gives it. He provides that instruction for his life because God wants us to make good choices in our life. He doesn't want to see us go through things in our life. He wants us to make choices that is according to his purpose and plan and will for our life. So that means God is ready, God is willing, and he's waiting on who? Me, that's right, us. He's waiting on me to get to that same place in my life. Then God will begin to reveal wisdom unto me through his word. Okay, and I'll say that 100 times and keep saying it. It comes through his word because his word is Christ, and we done read that Christ is wisdom. Now that's where it all comes from. So he encourages us to seek after that wisdom more diligently. So that means we got to pick up our Bible more often. We got to study that word more often because there is the ultimate source of our wisdom, is the Word of God. So in 1 Corinthians, we're still in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me start with verse 7. We're going to read down through a few verses here. In verse 7, here's what he said. Paul was talking to the church of Corinth here. And he says, but we speak. Paul was talking about himself because they were accused of excellency of words and different things like that. And Paul, here's what he said. We speak the wisdom of God, but the reason you don't understand it is we speak it in a mystery. Okay? He said a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Now, what was he talking about there? It wasn't a mystery to those who already accepted, but it was a mystery to those who had not yet accepted it. So why does God allow that to be a mystery? Well, there's many, many different reasons. As you came up through the law, under the law, it was a mystery because grace had not been given yet. Christ had not came yet. He had not been crucified yet. So it was a mystery. In this grace dispensation period that we live in, it's still a mystery to those who have not accepted yet. It's even a mystery sometimes to those who believe but are not growing in or maturing in their life in Christ. Why? Because if he didn't keep it a mystery, we would all be taking it and using it for personal gain. We wouldn't be using it for what God wants us to use it for. So he said, Paul said, the reason you guys are accusing me of not speaking the word of God right is because what I speak you can't understand because you haven't wanted to understand it yet. You haven't accepted that in your life yet. So a mystery, a hidden wisdom, which God ordained even before the world unto our glory. So when was this all set up? Before time as we know it. Before Adam was ever created, this all was already put in motion. to come to pass. And he said, which none of the princes of this world knew. Listen to this. For had they known it, they would not. Do you hear what I'm saying? They would not have crucified the Lord. Why do you think Satan had Christ crucified or wanted so bad to have Christ crucified? Because he thought it was going to get rid of him as a Savior. But it was God's plan that he be crucified because that's how he became the Savior of the world. And I'm talking about the world clear back to Adam. Because under the law, you could not be saved. There had to be redemption by blood. Why do you think they made sacrifices? It was a temporary redemption. But once Christ came, who was the ultimate sacrifice, the only one that could make the sacrifice to save you and I had to be a man that had never sinned. And there was only one. No matter what you hear in the world today, there was only one. And there'll continue to be only one. And it was Christ. And that one man had to willingly give his life, make a sacrifice, so that you and I could have salvation. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to my Father except through me. You understand that? That's what Christ said. So he said, but God hath revealed unto us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God. So that means that there is a wisdom that is beyond our comprehension. Do you understand that? Way beyond our comprehension. And what it does is it represents the sovereignty of God. It represents the power of God. It represents the understanding that God gives unto us through His Holy Spirit. And it's only revealed to those who will by faith believe. Okay? So you can get down on your knees tonight and say, Lord, give me all the wisdom you've got because I'm going to take it and run with it. And how much do you think you will get? Probably none. That's right. Probably none. Because you're going to use it for what? Your own self-righteousness. So we get wisdom because God knows it is predetermined by God. This is how we gain the wisdom that He wants us to gain. So we live according to that wisdom. And as we live according to that wisdom, then we'll get a little bit more wisdom. And we'll gain a little bit more knowledge and a little bit more understanding so that we might be able to do those things that God has in store for us to do in our life. So back up with me back in chapter 1 again. Chapter 1, verse 18. Here's what he says. For the preaching of the cross, okay, because this still happens today. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. Okay, so these are people that are dying because they've rejected God. They're dying in their sins, so they're perishing. They're separated eternally from Him. It that perish is foolishness. Okay, and at one time in our life, when we sat in a church just like this one, maybe even this one, and you heard the preacher preaching, to you it was what? Foolishness, because you didn't want anything to do with it. How do I know that? Because I done it myself. So he said, at one time in our life, the preaching of the cross was foolishness, but he says, to them which are saved, now we've learned that it is the power of God. So why do we keep preaching about understanding our salvation? Because we can look at one another and we can see the things that are going on in our life, the things that are going on in the world around us, those things that are hindering just breaks my heart to see people sometimes that are believers that have gotten in this state of mind that nothing can be done. We have lost that sight of our salvation being the power of God. So we have to pray. We have to pray that in some way God will begin to show us these things in our life, that we'll begin to see some understanding so we can get back to where He wants us to be, that through salvation, the only way that we're going to live is according to the power of God and not the power of the world. And every day we try to live our life according to the power of the world. That's not where God wants us to be. In verse 19 here, let's just go ahead and read 19. For it is written, I will destroy that wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Any worldly wisdom that we have that we think is really going to do something for us in our life, God says, I'm going to destroy that. I'm going to take that clear away. And then we'll see where we're left standing in the Lord. So he said, this wisdom is the foundation of our faith. Without the Word of God, you or I could not have been saved. And people kind of look at you funny when you say that, because they said, well, I got saved and I've never read the Word of God. If we weren't obedient to the Word of God, we would have never gotten saved. So how did we get that? That's because God was presenting us with that wisdom through somebody else. He was showing us that wisdom. And when we begin to see that in our life, then the Holy Spirit that is working around us, that it began to convict us in our life, and we didn't really see or understand the wisdom, but we started becoming a little bit obedient to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And then by faith we believed, by faith we accepted, and once we accepted, then he said we understood what that wisdom was all about. And once we're saved, he wants us to continue to understand what that wisdom is all about. He wants us to continue to grow in that wisdom. We're not living in something in reference to, but we're living in it ourselves. We are a part of it in our life because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So we're going to base, listen to this, I'm not going to say we should because we say it up. We're going to base everything that we do according to the wisdom of God. And if we do, you'll live a much greater life of joy in the Lord. It might not be flashy, and it might not be what you really wanted it to be, but you'll begin to understand the true joy of God in our heart. We'll be, every morning that we get up, when we go to bed at night, we'll be thanking the Lord, and it'll be the same Thanksgiving when we get out of bed of a morning. Doesn't matter how bad we feel, how good we feel, doesn't matter what the day we know is going to bring, we're still in the joy of the Lord because we're beginning to understand the wisdom of God. So in Isaiah, let's go back into the Old Testament for a minute. We're not the only ones that God talked to about wisdom. In Isaiah chapter 64, starting with verse 4, here's what he said. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard. Okay, this is still continuing today. Men have not heard. It didn't say it wasn't being preached. It said that they just wasn't hearing what was being preached. So he said, men have not heard, nor did they perceive by the ear, so that no wisdom, no understanding, neither hath the eye seen, O God, except thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Do we understand? Have you ever just sat down and thought, do we understand the things that God has prepared for us? Now, eternally, we might say, yeah, one of these days we're going on to be with the Lord and be in heaven and live with the Lord. What about now? Do you understand what God has prepared for you right now? Huh? Now, let me put this. It's probably going to come through suffering, but God has still prepared it for us so that we might have joy in the Lord. God wants us to understand our salvation. He wants us to understand. But he said from the beginning of time, man has not understood because we haven't taken the time to understand. We haven't taken the time to grow the way God wants us to do. What God hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth. For we have sinned, and those is continuous, and we shall be saved. So our life is a cycle, not much different than it was with the people under the law. We go to the Lord, God restores us in righteousness, and then we what? We start over again. We sin. We fall away from God. We're back in now to the worldliness, the lustfulness of the world around us, and God has to restore us once again into righteousness. So we never allow ourselves to get to the point where we can just remain in the wisdom of God. So in Romans, Paul, here's what Paul said in Romans when he was talking to the church at Rome. Let me read you this. Romans 8:28. Here's what he said. And we know, now pay attention to this, we know, so as believers, we know that all things work together for good to them that what? Love God. To them who are called according to His purpose, or you could say who are called according to His wisdom. Because His purpose is wisdom, not ours, but His. So it's only by the Spirit of God. So when we pray, and this is why the Bible says we don't know what to pray unless we go to the Holy Spirit and ask Him, because only the Holy Spirit can communicate with God. Yours and my spirit cannot communicate with God. So the Holy Spirit that indwells within us communicates with our spirit. And we begin to receive that wisdom and what we need to be. And the prayer isn't, oh Lord, if you'll get me out of it this time, I won't do it again. That's not the wisdom of God. That was a lie. It is that the Holy Spirit communicates with our spirit, and once He gets us on track, then the Holy Spirit communicates with God. That's how this works. So this is how we communicate with the Lord. So just as our spirit, we think our spirit knows what's best for us, the Holy Spirit knows what is best for us in God. So that's why He wants us to listen to that indwelling Holy Spirit. That's why He wants us to pray using that indwelling Holy Spirit. That's why He wants us to, when the Holy Spirit begins to put these things upon our mind, that's why He wants us to go to Christ Himself, which is the Word, so that He might be able to begin to, that wisdom and that knowledge, give us some understanding of it, because this is how we're going to have a relationship with the Lord. How'd your relationship start out between you and your wife? It probably started out with some love letters that were a lot of nonsense, didn't it? Girls, are we at that point yet?
Yes.
That was a yes? Okay. Okay, so it's no different. It's no different in our life with the Lord. It has to start somewhere. And it turns in these love letters that the Holy Spirit helps us to write in our conscience, and we begin to communicate, these turn into a relationship, and a lasting relationship, an eternal relationship. So God uses this in our life because He wants to communicate with us. He wants us to understand so that we might know what His will is for our life. And He wants us to see things from His point of view, not our own. Because ours is a worldly point of view that is temporary. His is a spiritual point of view that is eternal. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, here's what he says. Let's start with 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise for God. So that's probably one of the worst things we do through our worldly emotions is we judge things. And the hardest person that we're probably hard is ourselves. We're hardest on ourselves. We judge others too, but we judge ourselves. But if we're not judging ourselves according to the Holy Spirit, then you know you can hinder your own relationship with God. I can hinder my own relationship with God by looking at things that God wants me to see and judging them myself and not letting Him take care of it in my life. So we don't turn everything over to the Lord. And he said we're supposed to allow until he comes, until it's time for him to take us from this world, everything is supposed to be in his hands so that we might always do those things that are pleasing unto him, not unto us. So this means that God has given to each one of us an ability. And it comes through His wisdom so that we might see and understand spiritual truths. Spiritual truths. Not what we believe to be the truth, but what He says is the truth. And He wants us to proclaim this. He wants us to proclaim it in our life to be able, so that we might be able to see His glory. You know, if you never proclaim the glory of God, chances are you're not seeing the glory of God. Because in order to be a part of that, we have to proclaim that in our life. And we have to proclaim it. It doesn't matter where we're at, but whenever he wants us to proclaim that, that's what he wants us to do. So we're not, you know, a lot of people that you live around have godly virtues. All right, you understand? You see people all the time, you say, oh, you know, they must be a good Christian person. Well, they might be a good Christian person, but you know, Christianity is no different than anything else. It's just a religion. Some might even call it a cult. So a lot of people have good spiritual virtues, but God wants us to have more than that in our life. He wants us to be servant. God intends for us in our life to always seek after a meaningful relationship with Him. Not just say we have it, but be a part of it. Seek after that in our life. So in 1 Corinthians, the last verse I'm going to read. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, let me leave you with this verse. He asks the question, he says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" So what's that mean? Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? So do we follow every bit of instruction that God gives unto us? And before you say yes, every bit of instruction that God gives unto us is every promise and commandment that is recorded in His Word. That's the instruction. And He would like for us to be obedient to that. But He knows we're not going to be obedient to that. So He allows for that in our life. So that's why Paul said to those people that were judging him, he said, who out there knows the mind of the Lord? Who out there listens to every instruction that is given unto him? But he said, God has made allowances for that because we have the mind of Christ. So if we have the mind of Christ, you know what the mind of Christ does for us? When you are not obedient to the promises and the commandments of God's Word, the mind of Christ tells you so. The mind of Christ tells me so. So that we'll stop what we're doing that's not pleasing to God, and we'll turn and ask God what we should be doing that is pleasing unto Him. So why do we not do that in our life? And I include myself in this. Why? Because there are worldly desires that we like to follow. And because we like to follow these worldly desires, we don't pay attention to the mind of Christ that dwells within us. Because we want to do what we want to do. God wants us to do what He would have us to do. You know, if we would give up some things in our life, worldly desires, things that we're doing, and do what God wants us to do, we might miss out on a few things that we want, but you know, God will work those things out. And it will become a greater blessing to us later down the road because we followed Him instead of ourselves. So, Paul tells us, we as believers are the messengers of God. You talked a little bit about messengers in your Sunday school class this morning, didn't you? Jeremiah was a messenger of God. And even when Jeremiah was brought before the court and they said, let's kill him, he still carried the message of God, didn't he? We don't always carry the message of God, do we? We don't always say no to things in the world that we should be saying no to because God's given us a different message that He wants us to carry out. So we have to begin to think about these things in our life. And we have to understand that when we turn somebody else down and say no, we are not responsible for how they react. See, a lot of that, you know, as adults, we still have peer pressure. Huh? Oh, when your son or your daughter, somebody calls on Sunday morning and say, oh, Dad, we're going to go here and we need to leave early. And you can miss church this one Sunday and go with us. And in your mind, you're saying, well, they're my son or my daughter. I should go. And see, we should have said no. Because that would have been a greater message than going along. They might not have reacted well to it, but we're not responsible for those actions. We're responsible to God for our own actions. So this is what God wants us to understand. You know, we're never going to fully grasp every thought that comes through the mind of Christ. But God wants us to have that hopeful assurance that through the indwelling Holy Spirit that we'll begin every day to understand just a little bit more what the will of God, what is according in my life to the will of God. And the more that we understand, the easier it will come to put Him first and things in the world around us second. Because we begin to understand that it's more important to get people to heaven than it is to live with them here upon this earth. Did you understand that? The importance lies in seeing our family and our friends and our loved ones in a relationship with God, because that's eternal. The things we do here on this earth are only temporary. And they're not important. But the things that are eternal are very, very important to God. So having the mind of Christ means that we're willing to begin to work towards this goal in our life. We're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to take over those thoughts, so that when these things come about in our life, we stop and we say, no, I'm going to serve the Lord. And the more that we do that, the greater we'll begin to conform to the will of God, the greater our relationship with Him will be. The most important relationship you can have in your life is with God. There is no other. And when we begin to understand that, God will work with the other relationships. And He'll help us through those other relationships. But first of all, we have to begin to understand what the power of the wisdom of God truly is. And Paul said it best when he said, it's Christ and Christ crucified. That's the power of the wisdom of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to be in Your house, to fellowship, Lord, not only with You, but with each and every one that has came out today, Heavenly Father. And we're just so thankful, Lord, to be part of such a great, unique family. A family, Lord, that strives upon Your power, Heavenly Father. A family, Lord, that is eager for Your wisdom, Heavenly Father. A family, Lord, that wants to grow stronger each day in a relationship with You, Heavenly Father. For the goal, Lord, is to see all men come to be saved. And Lord, as we see that in our life, and Lord, as we begin to understand that more and more each day in our life, that You would help us, Lord, that we might let that light of our salvation, Lord, shine forth so that others might see it. They might see Your good works, Lord, within us and through us, Heavenly Father. Lord, so that not only will we get to spend this temporary time here upon earth together, but Lord, we'll all get to live eternally together with You. So help us this day, Lord, to prepare. Help us, Lord, this day to understand. Help us, Lord, to sincerely ask for Your wisdom, so that we might each day be found doing those things, Lord, that are pleasing unto Thee. Forgive us this day, Lord, for we have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give You praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. What do we have this morning for a song? 333. If you're here this morning and have a need or a burden, if you don't know the Lord, then we certainly invite you to come and get acquainted with Him. Thank you. Okay, you may be seated just for a moment. We are going to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, so if I could have a couple volunteers, please. So this morning we're going to read from Matthew, and I'll go ahead and read a little bit while they're handing. Matthew chapter 26, and I'm going to read verses 20 through 25. And he says, "Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I?" So, you know, God wants us to question every once in a while. When he comes to fellowship with us, he wants us to question those things that he's trying to show us. And he said, he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, that is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had never been born." And Judas said, which betrayeth him, said, "Master, is it I?" And he said unto him, "Thou hast said," or "Yes, it's you." So one thing that Christ done here was he already knew he was going to be betrayed, but yet he came to fellowship with them anyhow. And the main thing that you want to see here is, even though he knew Judas was going to do it, he gave him a chance to repent. So that's what we want to do when we take the Lord's Supper. We want to take just a moment, because what we're doing is we're remembering. We're remembering what God done for us through his Son Christ, that great sacrifice that he has given so that we might be saved. And we're going to take a moment to repent. We're going to ask the Lord to show us those things in our life that aren't pleasing unto him. And we're going to ask the Lord to help us to work on those things. Because over in 1 John chapter 1, 9, he says, "If we'll confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us and restore us unto his righteousness." So let's just bow our heads for a moment and just take a few seconds to talk to the Lord and say, "Lord, yes, I understand. And yes, Lord, I do repent. And I do want to make my relationship with you greater." So let's just take a moment and do that this morning. Okay, if you'll stand with me this morning, and starting in verse 26 of Matthew 26, he says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body." And then it says that he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And he said, "I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Do you realize that's a promise? Christ Himself is going to do this with you one day. He's going to take the bread and the cup, and you're going to get to experience it firsthand with the one that we're remembering.
Amen.
So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and let me have a volunteer to lead in prayer this morning.
I will.
Okay. Amen. I'm sorry. Okay, do y'all have your song? Are you doing your...
Say.